QST from W1AW, the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio in Newington, Connecticut. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for December 21st, 2016. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, which is compiled by Rick Palm, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. And my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. This month we have for you Ohio Aries, A Busy Year in Review. You Can Take It With You, Build a Go-Box Station. Looking Out for Number One in a Disaster Area. Letters, American Legion's Amateur Radio Program, and K1CE for a final. But before we start with the stories, here are some Aries briefs. 2016 Skywarn Recognition Day, or SRD, is a wrap. The popular annual on-the-air event celebrates the long, mutually beneficial relationship between weather forecasters and radio amateurs and spotters. From a banner on the Melbourne, Florida National Weather Service website, another Skywarn Recognition Day is in the record books. Thank you to all of our amateur radio volunteers who made this another successful event. We will publish stats and anecdotes from this year's SRD as they come in. Watch for February 2017 QST coverage in the public service column, including reports of activity at the Taunton, Massachusetts NWS facility and operation from W1AW. A new version of the IARU Emergency Telecommunications Guide, published on September 1, 2016, is available on the IARU.org website. A rural county Aries group planned for Hurricane Matthew. In preparation for Hurricane Matthew's arrival on the Florida Peninsula in October, Gilcrest County EC John Greiner, KJ4YPZ, worked at the county EOC with a good plan for his Aries ops. Monitor the 147.285 MHz repeater in the farming town of Bell, and when conditions warranted, I would put out a call every hour at the bottom of the hour for any emergency traffic. If stations were on emergency power, they could call up at that time and save power the rest of the hour. At the top of the hour, I would change frequency to the 146.82 MHz repeater to confer with neighboring Alachua County Aries and EOC, where I would remain for 10 minutes to relay and pass traffic and information as needed. Mr. Greiner planned for Aries to monitor in place. If shelters were opened, Mr. Greiner would send two radio operators with 2-meter radios. But Mr. Greiner reminded everyone that he would have the last word on any deployments necessary. For a California Aries Hospital Communications Group, it gets real after participating in a major statewide medical drill. The 2016 statewide medical and health exercise took place on November 17th and was scarcely over for a month when the Hospital Disaster Support Communications System, or HDSCS, a specialized Aries group in Orange County, California, was called out for the real thing. On Monday, December 12th at around 1:15 p.m., phones went down at Anaheim Global Medical Center. In accordance with the hospital emergency plan, HDSCS was contacted using the HDSCS call-up sheet. The hospital's assistant disaster coordinator informed the HDSCS contact of the problem and the request for multiple operators to back up communications. A call over a local repeater used by HDSCS yielded two operators ready to put the system into action. Within a few minutes, a base station was established and a lead communicator was on his way to the hospital. The base station and an assistant emergency coordinator made calls using the HDSCS first wave sheet. Over the next 15 minutes, another three operators were identified and began their responses to the hospital. An additional three operators were contacted in case more would be needed and indicated their availability. As the first operator arrived, a hospital command center had been established. In under an hour, four communicators were on site, with one operator staying in contact with the base station and the other three backing up internal communications. Training in hospital incident command system protocols was helpful for the radio operators in working with the ICS Form 213 and 214. The hospital staff knew about the job action sheet preferred by Orange County hospitals. While this facility did have a backup phone system and some handheld radios that provided some coverage for the most critical departments, the radio amateurs were wanted also. While some patient care staff could make a call on a handheld radio, they couldn't always listen and preferred the HDSCS operators to handle communications. A relief operator, identified from the initial call-up, did come on site about 4.5 hours into the incident. The system was declared stable just over 6 hours after the activation. Then the communicators on site were asked to participate in the debriefing with the hospital staff. This phone outage was the 123rd emergency and the 97th phone outage to which HDSCS has responded since 1980. This report was submitted by April Moel, WA6OPS, the District Emergency Coordinator for the ARRL Orange Section, and the Ares Hospital Disaster Support Communications System. Now, we'll begin our stories with Ohio Ares, a busy year in review. In addition to providing radio communications in support of public safety and security at the Republican National Convention, or RNC, in July, the ARRL Ohio section doubled its involvement in public events and incidents over the activity of the previous year. Section Emergency Coordinator, or SEC, Stan Broadway, N8BHL, credited his team of local and district emergency coordinators for their participation in long planning meetings, intense preparations, and successful operations. Ohio Ares solidified its relationships with numerous emergency management agencies and Red Cross offices over the course of the busy year. The number of Ohio Ares members completing FEMA IS-100, 200, 700, and 800 courses steadily increased. A database shows more than 500 Ares members now holding 3,263 course certificates. In Ohio, Ares volunteers who report to an EOC or incident field operation must hold the NIMS and ICS course completion certificates. Some Ohio groups are developing mesh 2.4 GHz digital networking systems, while others are working on applications in WinLink, the hybrid internet RF-based email system. In several counties, Ares organizations are upgrading, expanding, and developing stations in their local EOCs. The Ohio State EOC station is being fitted with all new radio equipment. The remodeling and installation is expected to be completed before the end of the year. Many other groups were busy upgrading communications trailers for their emergency disaster response, some in cooperation with CERT programs. Ares members again participated in Ohio's NVIS Antenna Day, testing the ability to communicate within the state using HF radio frequencies. In 2015, Ares members participated in their first Ares VHF contest, designed to test and improve local communication capabilities for those times when all else, including repeaters, fails. The next Ohio Ares VHF contest will be held on January 14th. SEC Broadway said, "From bringing aid to a stricken hunter outside of cell phone range, to being a standing backup during the RNC, to activating to help at an EOC, our Ares volunteers won the confidence of EMA directors and assumed a higher position of trust." We'll pause now for a few seconds for a station break. This will allow repeaters time to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for December 21st, 2016. Welcome back. Our next story is You Can Take It With You, Build a GoBox Station. Paul Lusardi, N0VLR in Corvallis, Oregon, wrote, "In this article, I share both my experience with designing a versatile GoBox as well as my operating experiences outside of the shack. Consider the variety of locations from which you would like to operate. I hope that this project inspires you to enjoy similar experiences." After having participated in many field day events, as well as serving in various emergency and disaster communications response roles, I can attest to the benefit of having all the critical components conveniently pre-wired in one place. There is an added benefit to being able to quickly adjust between diverse environments, such as home, portable, and mobile operations, without the hassle of installing and uninstalling radio equipment. A little background. Being a requirements engineer, I applied a systems approach to this project with the goals of developing a GoBox that would be capable of HF, VHF, and UHF operation. It would be easily transformed between a portable, mobile rover, or home operating environment. It is usable for digital modes, using a sound card device and software where possible. It was important for me to maximize the capabilities of my station while minimizing the weight and ensuring simplicity. The main focus was on packaging the three basic components of a station, the transceiver, the antenna tuner, and the sound card interface. At the same time, a decision was made not to include a power supply, but rather rely on various power options that were particular to the environment I would be operating in, thus saving on total weight. There are a number of HF, VHF, UHF radios on the market that offer multi-mode capabilities. Add to that a wide variety of sound card interfaces, a computer, and lastly, a general-purpose antenna tuner, and you have the beginnings of a highly versatile station. After some trial and error, I selected the MTM Case Guards Sportsman Utility Dry or Spud Box, specifically the model Spud 2. It has a comfortable carrying handle and provides enough depth, strength, and support needed to handle the weight of the radio gear. The components I selected for this GoBox were the ICOM model IC706 Mark II G transceiver, the LDG model Z100 Plus auto tuner with the radio interface cable, as well as the Tigertronics SignalLink USB sound card interface. Here are additional benefits of a good design. Security of being able to easily remove the GoBox from a vehicle when not in use. It is quickly adaptable among various operating environments, and it allows hams to only need one radio that serves multiple purposes. Now the guts of it all. The internals are very simple. A thin, high-grade plywood shelf slides between parallel guides. The power, coax, and braided cables need to be long enough to slide out with the shelf when accessing components. Optional internal fused circuits may be installed for protection, or a small fan for cooling that may be needed during mobile operation. The top shelf holds less frequently used components, such as the signal link and auto tuner. Therefore, the bottom shelf is reserved for more frequently used items, such as the transceiver, thereby reducing arm muscle strain when in operation. The bottom shelf is mainly for the radio, with storage space for a remote head or other accessories. Pennsylvania CUSO Party 2016 was the shakedown. I traveled from my home in Oregon to operate in Pennsylvania with Randy George, N3ZK, and Frank Bobro, N3FB, to test out my new GoBox under multi-operator contest conditions. I was able to transport the GoBox on board as an airline carry-on with no fuss from airport security. It easily fit into the overhead compartment. For contesting in the Pennsylvania CUSO party, I used a Heil headset, foot switch, and tablet computer. I was surprised that with running pileups for 2 hours straight, that the heat dissipation from the GoBox was sufficient and no additional fans were required. The N1MM contesting software allowed sending digital voice recordings through SignalLink, which worked very well. The only additional piece of equipment I needed was a small folding table to hold the GoBox and my computer. I still had ample room for food and drink. Conclusion. Building a GoBox can be very rewarding and will definitely draw attention from fellow Ham Club members. Hopefully, I have inspired you to build your own GoBox for those times when an out-of-shack operational need presents itself. Now, just to reiterate, it is important when designing your GoBox to consider various operating environments. You never know when an emergency situation may arise that could depend on your services for communication to the outside world. Thanks to Paul Lusardi, N0VLR, in Corvallis, Oregon. Mr. Lusardi is a member of the Benton County, Oregon Aries, as well as a member of the Search and Rescue and Oregon Disaster Medical Team. To view pictures of Mr. Lusardi's GoKit construction project, you can go to arrl.org/aries-el?issue=2016-12-21 with no spaces. Now, I know that's a long URL, so I will repeat it very slowly. It is arrl.org/aries-el?issue=2016-12-21. And again, no spaces. It's time once again to pause for a few seconds to allow repeaters to identify. Keep listening. We'll be right back. This is the ARRL, Aries Audio E-Letter, for December 21st, 2016. Looking out for number one in a disaster area. All of us who have had even minimal experience at the scene of any form of disaster, man-made or natural, know just how rapidly things can change in that environment. We have our go bags ready for what we believe we will need to get us through the situation or deployment. But have we given any thought about what would happen if during our deployment something were to happen to us, both on a minor scale and a larger scale? For the minor scale issues, I suggest what I call a personal comfort pack. This would include items such as painkillers, cough drops, antacid, lip balm, sunscreen, any prescription drugs you might need, a few Band-Aids, a few granola or power bars, and anything else you think may make your deployment a little easier and more comfortable for you, such as eye drops if you wear contact lenses. All of these items can fit into a small pouch. I use a nice weatherproof camera case I found in a local thrift store. Many of the items listed can be found in small quantities in the travel section of some stores. These smaller versions are ideal for your kit. Of course, your kit doesn't have to be small. If you want more comfort items than can fit into a small pouch, you could always go bigger. Popular now in some sporting goods stores are the plastic military-style ammo cans. These would also be a good choice for your personal comfort kit. They are inexpensive, lightweight, and have a rubber gasket around the lid to give it some degree of water resistance. These cans can even hold a bottle of water if you wanted one. Now that you have taken care of these little things, what can you do to help yourself if something more serious happens to you during your deployment and you were unable to communicate? Most emergency medical technicians, or EMTs, are used to looking at a person's wrist or neck for a medical alert bracelet or necklace. So I got a very small, brightly colored flash drive and labeled it on both sides, Mike B. Medical. Since there are laptops everywhere now, from mobile data terminals, or MDTs, in the squad emergency transport vehicles, to the desks in the trauma center, you can communicate a great deal of information without being conscious by having it readily available on the little flash drive. On mine, I have the following information: my name, address, home phone, and date of birth. It also lists the names and cell phone numbers of my wife or spouse and children, any allergies, and my blood type. In addition, I list my personal medical history, including my personal physician's name and address, and a copy of all the prescription medications I am currently taking. This gives the hospital the type of medication, dose, and the name of the physician who prescribed it. Time is of the essence, and if they had any difficulty contacting your spouse, they are using up critical time. Conclusion: it takes very little effort to put together a personal comfort pack and personal medical information onto a flash drive. Do it for yourself and your family. Thanks to Mike Berg, N8QQN in Wadsworth, Ohio, for this information and very good advice. Mr. Berg is an emergency medical technician and recently retired as the chief of police. Please let us know if your repeater is airing, or if you're listening on your smartphone, to the audio version of the ARRL e-letter by sending an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. Please include the method by which you listen to the ARRL Aries e-letter. Also, let us know if you're listening on a repeater or on social media. That email address again is kz3ab@arrl.net. We wish to thank John Creel, WB3GXW, for sending out the ARRL Aries audio e-letter on his 147.225 MHz repeater in Silver Spring, Maryland, every Friday evening. We'll continue now with Letters, American Legion's amateur radio program. And we have a letter from Joe Wright, KG7CWG, who writes, "I'd like to pass along some information that I had only recently discovered, and I suspect that many amateurs are unaware of. The American Legion has an active amateur radio club and program that seems to parallel what we do in Aries. I thought it was interesting that veterans are involved in public service via the conduit of amateur radio also. It's a great story, and it made me feel good to join them, along with being an Aries member." So thank you, Joe Wright, KG7CWG in Forks, Washington, for this information. And finally, we have K1CE for a final. "Happy holidays from your editor and staff on the Aries e-letter editorial campus here in Daytona Beach, Florida, the world's most famous beach. 73, Rick Palm, K1CE. And that concludes the ARRL Aries audio e-letter for December 21st, 2016. The ARRL Aries audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARRL Aries audio e-letter is an edited voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE in Daytona Beach, Florida. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, please visit ARRL.org. If you have any questions about amateur radio in general or the ARRL, you may also write us via snail mail at ARRL, 225 Main Street, Newington, Connecticut, 06111. Or you may give us a toll-free call at 1-888-277-5289. We are always happy to help answer your questions, and you need not be an ARRL member. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. And I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2016, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved. We wish everyone happy holidays and best wishes for a happy and prosperous 2017. 73.